We get signal, my screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackers, please.
It's cold outside. Snow is falling down on the streets, but inside the Rev studio, it's warm and cozy. We're warming up for Christmas on Hackerspace's Signal, playing games with and for hackers. Live on this show, there is even an awesome prize to win. A prize ticket to 27C3 for free. We are playing this game with you and supported by some friends of Hackerspaces.org. Today we have our technician GMC. Hey GMC, how are you?
Howdy, I'm fine, thanks.
And next to us we got our gamekeeper, it's Brain Smoke.
Hello.
On the other side of the table we got Hammercat.
Morning.
Evening. Yes. And on the other side of our Skype line we got Eric. Is Eric in the house?
Eric, are you there?
I am here.
Yeah, we got Eric. And
there we go.
Next to Eric, there is? It's Brink. Brink, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
You have to be a little bit more cozy with Eric, probably.
You have to be more cozy with me, he says.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
So we can hear you very well.
I'll just be louder. How's that?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you. Hey, to get a little bit in the Christmas atmosphere, first we got some 8-bit Christmas music, isn't it? Eric, you're staying in Hamburg now, I heard, Eric.
Which thing?
You're staying in Hamburg, is it right?
We are in Hamburg.
And why?
So what's the question you got?
Well, the question is actually, what are you doing in Hamburg now?
Well, it's one of many things. Right now, it's just a pit stop between Moscow and 2017.
I think we
The Skype connection is not really brilliant today.
I think we're going to try the Skype connection again. Skype was gone. Skype had some problems last days, I heard, guys.
Yeah, something about some super notes or mega notes, or
now,
what is it?
They're adding in some super mega note, and I'm wondering what the next word's going to be.
Hey,
what
fish?
You're going to get. Yeah, Eric's back again.
Eric. Yeah, it's weird, because I hear this this background music. It's a little too loud for me.
Background music.
I can't tell what you're saying.
The background music is too loud for you. Is it better like that? There we go.
Oh, I can hear you perfectly well now.
You're also in good quality over here now. Hey, I was starting to talk with you. You're in Hamburg. This is your first stop in Europe.
It depends. So. This kind of requires some rewinding in this story.
Unless you want to count the 28 hours we spent in Moscow, but it's a little bit east of Europe.
Yeah, it doesn't really count as Europe.
You've already been in Moscow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How cool was it over there?
It was very interesting, but we definitely met with what we'll call Russian bureaucracy.
Yeah, we didn't actually get visas.
So we had an interesting stopover in Moscow when we got there. So
it was supposed to be 4 hours, instead was 28.
Yeah, we got stuck at the airport by accident. Whoa. But anyway, I guess why we're in Hamburg. Well, actually, most people probably listening don't know what I did do for a living. Originally, I've done a lot of security work, and eventually I worked for some shadowy government agency doing some security stuff. But I left in August, and since then have been traveling the world with my partner, Brink, over here.
Yep.
And we call ourselves the Tesseract Travelers. And so basically, we don't really have a backwards. We don't have a rewind. We don't have a home to speak of. We work and consult on the road.
I have many homes.
Yeah, we have many homes. But so currently, why we're in Hamburg is because it's between New York, Moscow, and 27C3 in Berlin. And we have some wonderful friends in Hamburg. When we're staying with our friends McFly. Some listeners might know McFly.
McFly. Of course we know McFly.
Yeah.
How's McFly doing?
McFly is doing amazingly well. And Nono, his partner, is also doing amazingly well. And they are such wonderful house guests. Or, sorry, we're such... Well, they said we're such wonderful house guests. I don't believe them yet.
They're wonderful hosts.
But they're wonderful hosts.
Still sleeping on the couch?
Yeah, a little bit of that. A little bit of a sleeping bag at the moment. But it's a lifestyle. It provides some interesting flexibility. But so, yeah, we're in Hamburg chatting with McFly, actually, about a few projects.
Eric.
Since
I since I know you, it's about 2-3 years or so. You were starting lots of interesting projects. Remember you were one of the founders of Tool, Pumping Station 1, and you left your home base Chicago to start with this tour. Can you give the listeners a little bit of a impression how the idea came up?
Oh well, actually, I think I'd have to give that to Brink.
The car broke down in Reno.
We were actually on the way out to Burning Man at the end of August. And so after we finished Burning Man, we were going to San Francisco for a few days, and the car broke down in Reno, Nevada, just 2 hours outside of Black Rock City, Nevada, where Burning Man takes place. And we were stuck there for a few days.
Yeah, Reno is not a fun place to be stuck either.
Yeah.
Better than Moscow so far.
So, but anyway, so we got to San Francisco, but what turned to supposed to be 2 days of vacation extra left and go drive back to Chicago to my old job was turned into 6 weeks of not returning to my old job, working remotely, of course. And
San Francisco is a hard place to leave.
Yeah, it's a hard place to leave. And basically, I made a very big life decision with Brink here on saying, like, I don't really enjoy this 9-to-5 life. And I've run several companies, started several organizations, and they've done pretty well for themselves. And it's like, well, why can't I do that for myself? They're living on their own. I have no connection for most. I basically build organizations because I believe in what the people around them want to do. But I don't want to say run them. I want to provide them that organization so it can help them. And a lot have been able to breathe and live on their own. And so I said, why can't I do that on the road? And so Brink and I decided, why don't we go work remotely from wherever? And so...
Yeah, of course you can do that. Why not?
Yeah.
So in Holiday, we call it something like the new working experience. It's like working everywhere you like. Is it something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, there's a whole phenomenon about it. You know, it's not like we're the only people who ever do this. There's so many more people doing this like constantly, the better network connections we have across the world. And... Well, yeah, that's the main one.
Yeah, so, but basically...
But I mean that in all senses, not just internet connection, but social network and all kinds of other networks that we build.
Yeah, but one common term that people are calling this nowadays is techno-nomadism or technomadia. And so basically it's the old word nomad or nomadic person. And then you just, because of modern technology like smartphones, data services everywhere, anywhere can be your actual home or office. And so you don't necessarily need to keep in one area to work. And this allows us so much more opportunity to meet wonderful people. And a lot of people have been doing this. Some of you might know Sean Bonner. Some of you might know Tim Ferriss, 4-Hour Workweek or the blogger. And they also do this. And a lot of people are realizing, wait, if I already earn money on my own, why can't I work in Nice or Ibiza or Peru or like pick a place?
How many people did you have seen doing this kind of lifestyle?
Well, actually, there's a...
It's an increasing number constantly. So, yeah. I mean, the more places we go, it's like not linearly related. I mean, we're meeting like 2, 3, 4 people every week that either themselves are just traveling and working or they and a partner.
Yeah. And so right now there's actually a few mailing lists that have really recently popped up, and one of them already has 400 active members that are actively traveling like we are.
At GMC, yeah. you were traveling in the States. It was more for fun. Could you combine it with working and traveling around?
I probably could. It sounds like an interesting lifestyle. Well, there's some things tying me down to the Netherlands currently. My partner and family and stuff. But if that weren't the case, I would definitely strive to achieve such a lifestyle. It sounds wonderful, and I mean, constantly having the new experiences and everything. It would be something for me, definitely.
And Hammercat?
Yeah. I think I would like it to travel a lot and work in your car. So.
Well, I see it myself that traveling around and having fun at the same time, it's always good. In the meanwhile, I think we're up for some music.
Yeah.
Well, first, before we go to some music, first of all, the theme of today's music basically is we're going back to, my youth, actually, the key generators and the cracks and the trainers. I found a nice site, keygenjukebox.com. They've got all these old classic chip tunes. The Christmas song we listened to was actually by Digerati, which was the key generator for the Ultri AVI converter, just so you know. Something else, though, Fish. A friend of mine, of ours, who also does some programs on Signal.
You mean Social Hack?
Social Hack,
yeah.
Talking anthropology. Skype told me that it's his birthday today. So maybe it's a nice surprise if we just...
Does Eric know Social Hack?
I don't know much of Social Hack, though.
Oh, well, we're going to give him a call?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, and see if it's really his birthday or he's just giving some information, which is not really true.
Well,
let's wait for a
second. It's ringing. I don't know where he is at the moment. Might be in Vienna. Maybe he's already gone to Berlin. Maybe he's just not answering.
Let's do some random stuff. It's a Dev Random Show, man.
It is. Hi, Thomas. Hi, this is GMC.
Hallo, wer spricht da?
This is GMC from Signal.
Einen Moment bitte, ich höre dich nicht.
Okay.
Aber das darf man auch in Deutsch zu machen.
Sounds like he's partying.
He's probably at his birthday party.
Yes.
Wer spricht hier?
It's GMC here from Signal. I heard it's your birthday today. Yeah. So I just wanted to say congratulations.
Moment. I have to go to a place where I can talk silently with you. It's my birthday today, and therefore it's quite loud. But
that's why we're calling.
It should go.
We just wanted to congratulate you with your birthday.
Congratulations, Social Hack. This is Fish speaking. I hope you're having an awesome day. The party was going very well.
Thank you very much.
Where are you located now?
I'm right now in Vienna, actually in Wiener Neustadt, in a tiny town south of it, and I'm here with friends and my boyfriend, and we're just having a nice pre-Christmas sit-together and beer drinking.
Say all our hacker friends hi from us in Vienna. Are you going to CCC?
What do you mean?
At
2073 or
Berlin?
Hmm?
Berlin?
Yeah, of course. I'm going. I'm flying to Berlin on the 26th December. I should be. I'm landing 2:30 p.m. I should be at the apartment of Mitch Altman at least around 4 p.m. And I guess there we'll see us, or
definitely. Well, this is Eric over here. I just realized you're in Mitch's apartment. We'll meet each other. I'm staying there also.
Yeah, definitely. We should see us in the apartment.
Excellent.
And then we can make plans for the whole week.
We have plenty of things to do, so don't worry.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we have the Congress, we have the show to plan, and all the other amazing stuff around it.
Excellent.
Hey, Thomas, I'm looking forward to meeting you in Berlin. We won't keep you from your party any longer. Have a lot of fun and see you in a few days.
Thank you very much. Nice calling. Okay.
Welcome back to Signal, your favorite radio station of hackerspaces.org. This is the Dev Random Show, and we're talking about a lot of subjects today. And one of the subjects is the ETH Zero. It's not a conference. It's more a festival. It's a campsite. And we got Jan Klopper on the other side. Hi, Jan. How are you doing?
Hi. Fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, we're fine. We're having a lot of fun over here in the RevSpace studio, and we're already warming up for Christmas a bit in the hackerspaces scene. What are your plans for this winter?
It's the usual, actually. It's a small conference. We grew a bit bigger to about 120 people now. At least that's the goal. And we decided to skip on the whole lecture thing because, you know, the CCC is doing this pretty good. And we're trying the workshop route this year.
Okay, so there is a lot of space for hackers and hackerspaces to come over and play around with tools. And
exactly, yeah. We have two small labs, as we call them, which are basically just bedrooms. And we set those up with soldering irons and pinball repair, and we have the software lab and the hardware lab. So it's a bit different, but we think it'll be fun.
Is there going to be a radio station of Binary Voice again?
I'm not sure. Is there?
Well, I'm not sure, actually. Maybe Koen has some inside information.
Okay.
I haven't heard of that yet. Is it on a Thursday, actually? Or no, it isn't. It's
starting
weekend.
From Fridays, is it? Yeah.
I can always bring the gear, of course.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, it's starting on the 14th of January until the 16th?
Yeah, it's 48 hours, and we start at 6 on Friday, and we continue with or without sleep until 6 o'clock on Sunday.
That's longer than before, isn't it? I mean, I remember it used to be just one night.
Yeah, last year we had the plan to do one night and do build up on Friday. And somehow everyone, or at least 60 of the 80 visitors that bought a ticket, decided that it would be a good idea to come around on Friday anyway. So there was about 60 people on Friday night. And then the owner of the building said, yeah, are you sure this is the whole build-up crew? Because it looks like there's a lot of people now. So that's what we decided to just include Friday night and pay for it and see how it goes.
Hey, for the people who don't know ETH0, last summer there was a winter a summer camp, and
yeah.
Last winter there was also a winter LAN. Mm-hmm. In the summer camp, there was a campsite like a mini hacking at random.
Yeah.
And what can people expect if they go there?
Most of all, just good fun. Actually, there's no real hacking going on. There's no real political statement or movement or real big products or projects. It's just, well, you know, seeing your friends, having a good time, having a laugh, and if you can attend some workshops and learn some bits, but it's just good fun.
It's like hanging around in the lounge room, drinking some mate,
exactly.
Have a nice beer or Bacardi Coke. Oh, that's a brand, huh?
And we'll just see what happens, you know. We'll just there's room for cool stuff, and there's room to do workshops, and if you want to do a lecture, you can do that. So then there's not much of a schedule this year.
Are there only Dutch people?
You know, we had, on the summer event, we had people from all over Europe, actually. That was fun.
Where is the winter event, Jan?
It's in Zevenaar this time. It's
where?
Yeah, exactly, Zevenaar, which
where?
Is way, way, way far away from my house, but that's okay. And Zevenaar is near Arnhem.
Okay, so that's actually close to the German border as well.
Yeah, so everyone who doesn't have a 27C3 ticket, who doesn't make it to Berlin, they can come to ETA0 and, well...
Well, if Eric's still around and traveling in Europe, he could also visit ETA0.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. It's between the 14th and 16th, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I will be at Black Hat DC with Brink doing a new talk.
Ah, fuck Black Hat. Go to ETH0.
I know, but they cover costs and travel.
Yeah, so what?
They do, so it helps. That's how we get around a lot, is between conferences. So we go to an area for 6 weeks, and we're like, where do we want to go next? Is someone doing a conference?
Well, ETH0 does.
Yeah,
we do, but Black Hat is also big. They have some good content, I believe, so...
Hey, Jan, how many tickets are still available?
I believe just about half.
Okay.
60-ish.
Well, take off 3 because I'm visiting together with some friends of me. So just put me on the list.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah. I'll see you around. So.
Yeah, Jan, thanks for the update.
Yeah. Seriously, yeah. I have to give mad props for this. I really do wish I could go. It's just previous obligations, but I will be there next year, it looks like, as long as I know in advance, I'll definitely be there.
Hey, Jan, one final question.
Yeah.
How is it going to be at the parking spot over there? Is it going to be the same thing as last year?
Yeah, bring your tank and winter tires. And
I will bring my 4x4.
I think it's better this year. There's no grassy field, and it's not going to be all snowy, I hope. So
there should be
just normal parking spaces.
Well, if people want to know something more about ETH0, they can go to...
Well, to check out the website. It's ETH0 with a dash between the ETH and the 0, .nl.
Second option is lacrack.org, wasn't it?
Lacrack.org works as well. Yeah, you can just be forwarded to somewhere on the wiki, so you can find it then.
Okay, Jan, thank you very much.
And see you at ETH0.
I wish you a very nice Christmas and a happy new year. Of course, see you at ETH0.
The same to you.
Okay, jumping over to some more music. Do you have something nice, more Christmas music, GMC?
I don't have any more Christmas music.
Damn.
I'm sorry, but I have some cool chip tunes. By the way, the song we listened to before we called Jan, it was by Triple F, and it was for the Blind Right Sweet Key. It's a crack, actually, a crack. We are now going to listen to a song by T-Port, which is called... Oh, no, it's for the... key generator to picture to icon 1.
Welcome back to Signal, your favorite radio station of hackerspaces.org. This is the Dev Random Show. We already told we got a lot on our agenda, and one of the things later on the show is we're going to give one free ticket away for 27C3.
Well, we're not going to give it away. People have to do something for
true,
it.
True. We made a kind of game around it, but later on we're not going to spoil too much, but Brainsmoke has it all figured out. And he will give you the instructions. Just stay hooked on in the second hour of Hackers of the Dev Random Show. We're going to give the ticket away, but stay in tuned. In the meanwhile, we're going to talk with one of my friends who was organizing the Hackerspaces Festival, and he's on the line now. How are you doing? Bonjour, la France.
Hey, comment vas-tu?
Ah oui, je ne parle pas français ici.
Let's try.
Yeah, so that's the reason why we're speaking English. Introduce yourself.
So I'm Jonathan. So I've been a speaker at Hack in the Box. This is how we met. And I'm also a member of the Hackerspace in Paris, which is called the TMP Lab.
TMP Lab.
And TMP Lab, yeah, like as in temporary laboratory or something.
Well, one of your template friends, he was already, has been a sidekick for once. Do you know him, Cook?
Yeah, definitely.
And hey, how's template doing these days? Ready for Christmas and the winter?
So I don't know if anything is going on tonight. Usually we meet on Thursdays, so there must be a workshop or something. Unfortunately, I'm on the highway myself, so... I have no idea what's going on tonight.
Yeah, you're having some troubles to get to your parents, get rid of
the snow.
Snow
and stuff. Yeah, it's horrible. Don't come to France.
Yeah. Well, I heard Holland is doing quite as off. This is also bad like that. So, hey, what was happening last week? I heard there was a festival.
So it was on 29th to 31st of October, actually, so it was like 1 month back. So it was like, you know, the main party of the Hackerspace. We do it once a year. This year it was called Plastic Hackerspace Festival because one of the things which makes it which makes the GMP Lab a bit different from other Hackerspaces is that we have many artists along with us. Actually, the Hackerspace is hosted in a artistic flat. So, like, pretty much half of the members of the TMP Lab, including the president, are artists. So we had like, you know, mixed hacking and artistic sessions. We're trying to build bridges between different disciplines. Just to give you a few examples, like girls at the TMP Lab have been reprepping dildos. That was a major attraction of the Hackerspace weekend.
You're prepping what? Sorry, did I hear that correctly?
Sex toys.
Okay.
I have to think of one of our friends from Vienna.
Yeah.
Was he? So, he was there. Or?
Sorry.
Was one of our friends from Vienna? Just give me
from Vienna.
Yeah, help me a bit.
Johannes.
Johannes, yes, Grenzführer.
No.
He wasn't there.
No, I didn't see him actually. I don't know. Like, there were like maybe like 200 people or something.
200.
Yeah.
Playing around with dildos.
Well, I have not counted. I cannot say, but something like that, yeah.
Well, now we're going to be sure that we're going to they're going to flag us explicit on the iTunes department.
Tough life. So anyway, that was one of the one of the ways to interest people into the technologies we are building, trying to go into do-it-yourself stuff instead of buying your own stuff. And it was a pretty interesting idea from an artistic point of view also. Even chicks like virtually, are independent in that way too.
Hey, and the 200 people are coming over there. They're staying there 24 hours a day.
So it was a 3 days event. We can host people at night. Most people actually slept at the GMP Lab. So we had huge parties and stuff during the night. Some people were nice enough to come from ag.lu to the event we were doing. So, like, you know, Fyodor Yaroshkin and such people visited us, which was a pretty excellent from a security point of view, too. And it was really an interesting event from that point of view, like mixing, you know, the artistic stuff, like sound, music, whatever, and the more classic DIY hardware, software, whatever technologies.
Hey, and in the near future, TempLab is going to organize another conference, or is it not directly from TempLab?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's also an emanation of the GMP Lab, but it's a conference focused really on security. It's called Hackito Hagostum, which is Latin for I act, therefore I do, therefore I lead, sorry. So it's going to be in April from 7 to 9, and it's meant to be the first international conference in France when it comes to security. So last year was the first edition. We were very happy with the quality of the event. We got speakers from Israel and Brazil and whatnot. And this year we hope to do something even bigger and better in terms of quality. It's a cheap pass conference in the sense the ticket is like 80 euros. And if you've published an exploit or anything relevant to security during the past year, the ticket is only 40 bucks. So we are very far from like normal conferences.
I agree.
And the idea is that anybody can bring his own stuff. If you want to do us a war game, if you want to do anything cool and you would like it to be part of the conference, we take it because we think this is the way a conference should be, something which allow others to participate and not something exclusive to only a few members and stuff. So we're welcoming submissions, sponsors, and contributions in anything which is related to security.
Eric, are you still going in the neighborhood of Paris during April?
Absolutely, yes. It's going to be in Paris itself. So from 7 to 9, and you can check our website, which is hackitoalgosum.org.
Okay, and the CFP information is on it.
Absolutely. The CFP was out last month, I think, and it ends in January. So if you want to submit a talk, please submit before, I think it's mid-January or something.
Okay. Well, we're going to follow the website. Eric Michaud, is still there?
Still here.
Are you in Paris in April?
In April? Actually, it's funny you asked that question. We just brought our calendar out, and it's filling up. Let me see.
We are in Barcelona in April, perhaps.
So possibly, as Brink just cited, in April, we might be in Barcelona in the early middle. But other than that, we might be available.
Well, Eric is a security guru, so maybe you should just add a CFP, yeah?
Yeah, someone send me what you guys require, and sounds like a plan.
So, Jonathan, I hope your trip is going to be safe back to your parents, and that your Christmas days are going to be awesome.
Thank you much for inviting us to talk and stuff, and Merry Christmas to you guys too.
Yes, thank you very much.
And thank you.
Drive
thank
safely.
You much. See you. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Eric.
Yes.
Hey, this is Barcelona right now? What the?
In April, we have plans to be in Barcelona for possibly another conference. We have to sort that out, but, I mean, I can give you a quick rundown of our upcoming calendar.
Well, first question, how the fuck do you do it?
How the fuck do we do it?
That's what we were just explaining a few minutes ago.
Yeah, but I understand working from remote and so on, but traveling around, it sounds like a very expensive lifestyle usually. You're flying, buying tickets, arranging places to stay. Well, if you can stay at people's places, then at least your costs of hotels are going to be skipped. But your income is high enough working all over the world to pay these kind of expenses?
Well, it really doesn't have to be as high as you think. I mean, we're not maintaining like we're not maintaining a house somewhere with like utility bills for a place that we're not in, and all of that sort of thing. So basically, we took everything that in the separate places that we were all renting in Chicago and put it all in storage, so that we are 100% mobile. We only have what will fit in the vehicle that we're traveling in. So, of course, in Europe, we've only got what fit in a suitcase. And so it's not as hard as you might think. I mean, we find like a project usually in a place that we're going to well before we get there. So we know when we're going and what kind of project we're majorly going to have when we get there, primarily.
Does it work out that you first find a job and then have something in the neighborhood, or is it more like you're going to visit the conference and see if there are some vacancies available?
Kind of. I mean, it's not so much about vacancies. We work for trade with other people we know, and in addition to
consulting.
Yeah, in addition to consulting for companies and individuals, and sometimes just randomly, people ask us to do some kind of other random skill that we have. Like I painted a sign for a restaurant in Austin.
And so, yeah, we actually, if you really want to see one of the things we do, you can go to, we have a blog that covers all of our travels. We're backlogged a few weeks, but coming January 1st, we're going to have some consistency come out, because we're actually writing a lot of coverage of what we're doing. Tesseract, which is TESSERACT, Travelers, the two L's, the British spelling, .com. So TesseractTravelers.com. And we only have two posts right there because we just started it up, but we have about six more coming in the next few weeks. And it shows what we do. Like one project which we got the paid art gig for was that we painted a huge mural in the ATX Austin Hackerspace.
Yeah.
And maybe Brent can explain that a little bit.
Yeah, and that was entirely gratis. It was just a community project.
Fun.
Yeah, like a whole bunch of people got to participate in that. But yeah, there's a time lapse video. We did the mural over like 4 days, and it's time lapsed to about 6 minutes. It's pretty cool.
It's on the blog.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm gonna check it out later when we're ready with the show.
So basically, I mean, the projects we go for, they're not exactly all paid that we're necessarily doing, but we're going to do them anyway. And usually that results in other paid projects.
Hey, do you see other people coming along with the ideas that they also want to do it, and you help them out how they can handle this kind of lifestyle?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like we said, there's a huge support community for it. I mean, more and more people are becoming permanently nomadic every single day. It's amazing. So there's blogs and mailing lists and even real life events that are popping up all over the place.
Yeah.
Like there will be one at South by Southwest, for example.
You should make a movie.
We're on it. It's okay.
we're actually talking to a few production companies right now.
Yeah, well, there's a series of short films, and then maybe there'll be a longer one.
Yeah, there's actually some interesting in our calendar. As we do this, actually, a lot of the things we do is we put on training sessions. We also advise to companies. We're actually advising to a video game company in San Francisco remotely. They don't need us there, so all I need is a phone and a laptop, and it works really well. So. But coming up in May, we're actually going to do, I think, something incredibly stupid but awesome, something called the Moto Taxi Junket.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And, Moto Taxi what?
Junket.
It's an excursion. Apparently, a group called The Adventurists, you can go to theadventurists.com, and they put on adventure races around the world. And so we first heard about this through a friend who's one of the co-founders of ATX Hackerspace, Matt McCabe, who's going to be at 27C3. He's a great person. Everyone should meet him. And he said, hey, Eric, would you like to ride several thousand kilometers in a three-wheel taxi in India? And I'm like, I'm stupid. Of course. Yes, this sounds amazing. And he's like, cool. And then he told me more. And then we realized they had filled up. But we then noticed they have other races. And in Peru in May, the middle of May, for 2 weeks, you get this scooter after you pay the entry fees. Which is really a motorcycle in the front cut in half with a sofa welded to it.
Yeah, you fit three people in that. You survive across Peru in 2 weeks.
Yeah, you travel 4,000 kilometers from the most southern point of Peru to the northern point, to the Valley of Death. And there's no real prize for fast. It's just you survive and get stories.
The prize is your life.
Yeah, the prizes of your life. And so we're talking with some folks to document this, and we're going. We're building a team right now of three, and then we're building a few other teams to join us.
Like the film team, for example.
The film team, for example.
And the food team. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But really does sound like the typical Eric Michaud style. Lots of energy, positive go, and go along with it. In the meanwhile, we're going to listen to some more music, but I saw Social Hack was tweeting about Signal. I accidentally, and then some words weren't that well. The whole radio show, he did realize that the latest moment that he was in the radio show.
At the late, yeah. we tried to tell him, but it was so noisy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, later on, more Eric. We got some more about 27C3, the preview. We got a very special session, echtehackers.nl.
Oh, yes.
With does translated mean real hackers, I don't know, but later on more about it. Oh, you got some music, GMC?
I definitely have some more music, and this time we are going to listen to FOFF, who did a tune for the WinCHM 3.41 crack. Come on.
This is Signal, your favorite radio station of hackerspaces.org. This is the Dev Random Show, and we're talking about a lot of different subjects today. The next subject, are you ready for that, GMC, or you need some minutes?
Oh, I'm sort of ready. Let's see. We should have Brian on here. Brian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
We've got Brian. That's great. Then we should have...
Xiong Won Lin?
Yep.
Are you there? Well, we're mixing up all kind of lines, so the big question is which line is the good line? And is Eric still there?
Are you there?
Hello?
Eric's still there, is it?
Eric is still here.
Hello?
Ah, yes.
There we go. Okay, cool.
Hey,
but Brian is still there, but Xiong Won Lin, I don't think we have him.
I think we're missing some sound over there.
Brian, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Hey, Brian, I heard you're doing some do-it-yourself biohacking.
A bit here and there. There's a few different projects going around.
For the people who are listening, what is do-it-yourself biohacking? Do you have to think on gene therapy, or is it more like... changing the biologic sphere of your living room?
Okay. So the whole concept of do-it-yourself biology is kind of everything and its aunts and cousins, basically. So there's everything from traditional citizen science and, for instance, bird watching that some people have had for hobbies for many years now, but also to more recent things like synthetic biology. There is even some people wanting to make teams for the internationally genetically engineered machine competition, which is a synthetic biology competition to see who can basically do genetic engineering with standardized parts to make new life forms, or relatively new life forms, based off of human sweat and blood or ingenuity. So, you know, different DIY bio groups are trying to do different projects. So the activities really vary.
And how big are those groups?
That also varies. So there's a main group, main mailing list, basically, and that has about 1,500 members. But then some of the larger groups are the group in New York City and San Francisco. And those have about 200 or 300 members each, sort of.
And are those people spread across the world?
Yes, absolutely. There are groups in London, California, both in San Francisco and in Los Angeles area, New York City, Boston, one in India and Bangalore, one also in Copenhagen, Denmark, I mean. And, they're popping up all over the place, and it's a good way for people to get out of their basements and garages to... have a community of people interested in doing biology outside of traditional institutional settings.
In the meanwhile, we got Xiong Won Lin also available. Are you there? Let's try it again.
Hello?
Yes. Whoa, kicking in hard. is it Xiong or is it Lim your name?
Xiong is my first name.
May I call
you Xiong? Just call me by Xiong, yeah.
Hi Xiong, how are you doing? Well, we had some troubles to connect you to our systems. We're having lots of phone lines, Skype lines running over here.
I'm getting all nervous here. We got three phone calls at the same time. It's the first time for me, so
I see GMC sweating. GMC, how was your biohacking?
My biohacking, I'm sorry?
Well,
that's kind of a personal question, Fish.
Well, we were already discussing with Eric about the birds and the bees, but...
and how some people kill millions of soldiers every time. I mean, anyway,
yeah,
moving on.
Brave soldiers.
Brave soldiers they are.
Hey, for the people at home, are they able to start biohacking themselves?
Brian?
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Depends on which projects they want to do. So, like, in terms of... most of the projects out there in the community are basically on the same level as traditional high school science projects. So, definitely starting up a project, you know, a weekend-type project is certainly doable, yeah.
And Xiong, what's your opinion about that?
Well, it really depends on the kind of expertise you have and what kind of equipment you have available. I mean, if you basically have a PCR machine and some reasonably clean environment, it is possible to do very simple synthetic biology systems design, I guess.
And these, this biohacking, is it really always on bio, or are you also using technologies, electronics, and so on?
Well, it really depends on you, I think. You can work with biological systems like yeast or E. coli chassis, doing the traditional biobricks or any other kind of synthetic biology system design. Or you can work at producing cheaper PCR machines. I don't know, maybe even building some sort of nanosatellite for doing biological experiments in space for cheap. I guess that would also be a part of biohacking.
Wow. So, Sung, you recently you are part of a space called GenSpace in New York, I believe, which
yes,
is a biohacking DIY lab, which recently opened last week. I think you had a party. Was it successful? The party? Were there a lot of people there?
Yeah. Well, we ran out of all the beer, so I guess we can call that successful.
That's also kind of biology hacking, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
At least breaking down brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been building hard on this space, I think, for a couple of months. I was in New York, but you weren't done yet then. Were I to visit again, what would I find there? If I walk in, what would I see?
Well, you'll basically find a fully functioning biological lab. Yeah, with all the PCR machines, all the safety protocols, all the training programs already in place.
You got a shower?
Not a shower, but we have eye washing stations.
Well, for your information, I'm not a biologic expert, so I can't really tell you about biology on that side and so on. I only know that when I was in Vienna, we were doing some DNA hacking, mm-hmm. which is also probably one of the things you're doing in the lab. And they had a shower, and I think it was really funny.
That's actually what this PCR machine does, right? It's to replicate
it's basically
DNA.
Basically, it's a Xerox machine for DNA. Think of it as a Xerox, basically.
Okay, yeah. So is that what you mostly do, DNA sequencing research on that kind of stuff, or do you do also other interesting experiments?
You mean GenSpace?
At GenSpace, yeah, definitely.
Oh, well, I'm working on this protocol for extracting human mitochondrial DNA and then sequencing it. And then I'm trying to integrate it into local high school educational curriculum, kind of like one empty DNA sequence per child kind of project. Other than that, we'll also be doing some of the IGEM, well, International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition related work at the space. And some of the other members also have some really interesting projects going on, like high altitude microbiome sequencing project, etc.
Okay, so you're actually launching stuff in space, or how should I see this, in the weather balloons, or?
We're going to begin with weather balloons, yes.
Well, yeah, they are popular these days at hackerspaces. So, Brian, you've been watching the DIY bio scene in general in the States mostly, or is this also happening outside of the States that you know of?
Yeah, it's definitely starting to happen more internationally. A few of the most active non-U.S. groups are DIY Bio London from the London Hackspace, which I think has been growing exponentially, and I mean, their activity has really been growing very fiercely. Another group is Biology Garagen, from Denmark. I think they recently got a space too. There's also one other, I don't know the size of the space, but Temp Lab in Paris. Also has a biohacking group.
Okay, yeah, we just had someone online in the show from Temp Lab. So that would have been a nice bridge, actually. But so GenSpace itself is quite unique, actually, in the States, I believe, because there are a few other groups, but they don't really. I mean, I know there's BioCurious in the Bay Area, if I'm not mistaken. And
right, BioCurious is the next. Will be the next GenSpace, I guess.
Okay. And I also know that some people in LA are working on some of the stuff. They basically claimed a corner in Null Space Labs, Hackerspace in LA.
Right. I think it's Null Space and a bit of Crash Space, but I'm not entirely sure.
It was in Null Space, yeah. I saw their PCR machine, so that was a dead giveaway. I also went to Boston. There's also a small space there. Do you know of that one?
There's a Sprout there and a Boss Lab. Boss Lab is upstairs in Sprout Lab, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
That's where Matt Cowell keeps some of his equipment there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had a short discussion there. Actually, I was doing an interview with him, and there were some people around who were there for a workshop on building windmills. And someone actually raised an interesting question. I mean, you can do pretty dangerous stuff, of course, with biological research. And he wondered, isn't it dangerous to bring this to the general populace? I mean, what if someone is going to...
Why are you interfering? I want my brain-eating zombies. I want them now. No one can stop these guys. I'm sorry. I'm interjecting. Yes, there are some... Yes, let's hear the actual...
Yeah, so people were wondering, what's are there any limits to what you can do, and aren't there any dangers in there, Brian? I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
Army of clones.
Well, I mean, first of all, if you're going to have something dangerous happening, you know, if you are a seriously dangerous person, you know, whether or not do-it-yourself biology exists, you're going to do it. So, I mean, you know, in terms of amateur communities and hackerspaces working together on biology projects, you know, that's more like it's a pale shadow in comparison to the massive amount of biology research going out there in the world, you know, most of which people are not aware of. You know, when you hear that, you know, some random city you've never heard of in China has published, you know, 300,000 biology papers in this last year alone, you know, that's a lot of activity that you're not aware of. There's a lot of biology research and development going on out there. So in terms of comparing, you know, the amount of activity and so on, it's just like do-it-yourself biology doesn't even like compare at all at this point. So it is truly mind-boggling. So chances that some sort of malicious activity will occur or whatever, I mean, to me it doesn't really matter where it comes from. It's just the fact of whether or not it does happen. So it just doesn't really seem relevant to bring that up in the context of DIY Bio. Specifically in terms of, like, unless you want to, like, get a hookup to do those projects, but I'm not going to help you there. So...
Yeah, and actually, a thought I had, of course, a lot of people don't have a lot of knowledge about biology, probably, but governments and companies, they do, and they do all kinds of experiments. And I think if places like these DIY biolabs... if they can educate the people, they can also keep an eye on these experiments and maybe have an inkling when some of these companies is doing something. Is that something you would be working on as well, Sung?
Sung could probably talk a bit about this, but definitely BioCurious has been putting together some educational materials for anyone, basically, for holding classes and so on, because, you know, educating people about risks and possibilities and so on is very important because, you know, on the one hand, it's good to know your basic tools so that you don't have your head in the clouds and so on. But on the other hand, it's also important that decision makers and policy makers and politicians, you know that, you know, the world isn't going to blow up, you know.
Well, yeah. That's typical.
There's also Peer-to-Peer University, which I think needs a little bit more support, and they do... classes based in hackerspaces in different locations, and so the general concept is that you start in a class somewhere at, say, NoiseBridge or something, and you learn some particular skills. You go somewhere else, you learn your next set of skills. So anyway, I think that might be an interesting model for biology education coming up.
It's the purpose of these do-it-yourself biolabs and hackerspaces, mostly for education, or are you also trying to gain a lot of research?
For me, it's because I have particular tools and technology needs that I can't really meet anywhere else, in particular because of my projects relating to transhumanism or human enhancement. You know, if you want to upgrade your metabolism or something, you can't really buy stuff on the market cheaply. So, you know, if you want to have biohacking or relevant synthetic biology or genetic engineering, you know, within your lifetime, you're going to have to take initiative to run your own projects. But for some people, it is just education, actually, which is fantastic. And for other people, it's business, like garage biotech startups and so on, selling cheaper equipment or open source hardware even. So there are a lot of different reasons that people come to the table, as it were.
You're also trying to extend the technology to other hackers who may have maybe solutions for problems you find out?
Yeah, that's actually the whole concept of for open source hardware, which is basically the idea of bringing the same type of licensing from open source software to the world of hardware. So the basic idea there is instead of patenting your inventions and trying to keep all of the details of your hardware proprietary and secret, the idea is to liberally license it and say, okay, I'll give you all the details to my super advanced atomic force microscope if any derivatives you build or any improvements you make are also liberally licensed under this open source hardware license.
How is this for Sung? Sung still there? I think we lost Sung, isn't it? Oh yeah. Well, go ahead. Where were you? I was breaking your line, Brian.
What's up? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just going on about open source hardware. What am I?
Hey, Eric, you also saw a lot of hackerspaces around, and also some of them were do-it-yourself biohacking. What was the main purpose you saw?
Most of the stuff I've seen is like getting into DNA sequencing and a few other bio projects. Some of the projects I've seen at PS1 were more, I mean, not necessarily biological. I mean, it was clearly chemistry, like people developing ferrofluids, but it was...
Or the STM, or the, At PS1, Sasha built a scanning tunneling electron microscope, and yep. I might not be getting that exactly right because I didn't build it. But while it's not directly a DIY bio project, it has incredible application across scientific communities, and especially in DIY bio. So, but that was really more of like a physics and electronics project for Sasha.
Right, but the main output of this will be that people can bring a national lab or major academic institution tool to your garage where you can see actual atoms. And if you can do that, that provides a whole ability to work in the nano realm very easily, or at least step further.
It's a starting point. Exactly. But
and so
I hope to see lots more DIY nanos spring out of DIY bio, actually. That would be cool.
Actually, very recently, there was this open source CAD program for molecular nanotechnology and molecular machinery that has been brought more open source. It was originally developed by a company called NanoRex, and it was open source originally, but not... The entire development tool chain wasn't open source. So, I mean, that means they wrote code, they compiled it, and they made a production release, and that was open source. But anyway, since November of this year, it has been made completely open source, and now the Nano Engineer CAD system for open source nanotech CAD modeling is now publicly available. So anyone interested in doing DIY nanotech, especially modeling and simulation, we need more developers for that. So...
Wow! Yeah, it's all interesting. We're kind of running out of time, unfortunately. I've got two last questions. One is to Sung. Are you still there, Sung?
Yes, I'm still here.
Brilliant. I was wondering, is GenSpace does it work like the hackerspaces I know, where you become a member and then you get some privileges, or is it open for everyone? I'm curious about that aspect.
Yeah, so the GenSpace is modeled after the local hackerspaces in New York City, like Apple and Labs or NYC Resistor. And it is membership-based. We do fundraising, parties, classes, events, etc. So yeah, it's a hackerspace where you can come and just learn about basic techniques of molecular biology and synthetic biology.
Excellent. So do you have a lot of members already?
We have 7 paying members right now.
Wow, okay. So, and if people want to join, what's the site?
The website is www.genspace.org. We also have a blog and a Twitter at GenspaceNYC. You can just send a message to us, visit us anytime. Yeah.
Wow, cool. Thanks. Brian, one final question to you. People interested in the whole DIY bio movement, if I may call it like that, is there some kind of hub that people can go on the internet, some site that brings it all together?
Yes, absolutely. DIYBio.org, DIYBio.org would be the site for that.
All right.
The main communication is a mailing list on the DIY Bio site under Google Groups. So, yeah, we're all very friendly, so we'd love to meet new people who are interested in biohacking.
Excellent, guys. Thanks for talking to us. This is definitely an interesting direction of hackerspaces. We are going to listen to some more music. I have here from Eclipse the tune to the key generator for Recover My Files.
The Dev Random Show of Signal from hackerspaces.org, your favorite radio station for hackers. And we are still talking about hackers and conferences and everything what has to do about it. And, well, in a few next days, lots of hackers are going to travel to 27C3, the conference of the Chaos Communication Club. And it's in Berlin.
It's in Berlin. And if all is well, we have now under the fork, live from Berlin, our agent Brimstone. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wow, it's a wonder. So how is the situation in Berlin? Is there a lot of snow?
We've gotten some snow. There's some on the ground, but today it actually warmed up some and got above freezing. And then proceeded to rain and turned everything to a nice, delightful gray slush.
Ah, wonderful.
Thawed off some. You can see more rooftops now. But then it promptly dipped back below freezing.
When did you come in, Brimstone?
I got into town last week sometime. Before last.
You're already hanging around near the Alexanderplatz at the ice skating court and... buying some nice currywurstel and so on.
Yep, seeing family and whatnot.
What's your origin, actually? Are you coming from Europe?
I'm coming from Alabama in the United States, actually.
You're not flying in with the hackers on the plane?
No. I took a separate event over to see family and whatnot.
Eric, are you coming with hackers on the plane, guys? Eric's not on.
He should definitely be there.
I'm sorry, I must have misheard. What was the question?
Talking about the birds and the bees, or?
Yes.
Now, I was asking if you're flying in with the hackers on the plane.
No, we're
in Hamburg right now.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not in New York.
Ah.
separate direction, same destination.
So we're going to be hackers on a train. Just, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, hackers on a train.
Hackers on a train.
Hey, yeah, between Hamburg and Berlin.
Hey, Brimstone, are you flew in directly to Berlin?
Yes.
And you're just hanging around now in C-Base and have a lot of fun, preview fun of 27C3. What are you going to expect? Is this your first CCC? Or?
Yes, it is.
Whoa. Well, Eric can tell you what's going to be going to happen over there. Eric, what's going to happen?
Oh, man, at C-Base, you're in for a treat. Apparently, since 27C3 is booked out for the most part, another popular sidetrack has started up, there will be something called Berlin Sides. I think it's on the 27th through 30th, the same days as the conference. And it's just a sideline InfoSec conference. So for a lot of talks that did or didn't get in, people can also go there all day. If you have a ticket, but apparently it seems that they are closed, and it'll be a full other conference side by side at C-Base, during 27C3.
So, talking about tickets, actually, Brimstone, do you have a ticket for 27C3?
I did. I got up bright and early at 9 a.m. a couple Saturdays back to get in on the land rush there.
Well, Signal has a ticket to give away. And it was sponsored by the HXX Foundation. For people who don't know HXX Foundation, it was the foundation who did organize Hacking at Random.
Yes, and who are planning a very awesome visit to the Chaos Camp in 2011 in August. Details about that on hx2.org, Hexsquare. But yeah, we're giving away a ticket. If you were one of the unlucky people who did not have a ticket, well, we're not giving it away.
No. We have a very difficult game.
We have a little game for the people here. Brainsmoke, can you inform us about what people have to do to obtain this ticket? And might I add, we will throw in a free T-shirt as well, an HXSquare, Hexsquare T-shirt.
I want everyone.
Well,
Brainsmoke.
Well, we thought we shouldn't make it too hard, but also not too difficult. So I'll give you a hint. You have to connect to 27C3 at lacrack.com, which doesn't mean you have to send an email, but something different. You have to guess. And then you have to drop your phone number and your email address so that we can send you the ticket.
And we give you a call because we want to have you live in the show. So just go to 27C3.
Now you have to connect to 27C3 at lacrack.com, and this doesn't mean you have to send an email. So emails are not allowed. So
we want your phone number so we can call you. And
it has to do something with the SIN, was it?
Hmm?
It has to do something with the SIN. SIN arc?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we will, as soon as somebody's coming in, then we will just...
We're listening.
Yeah, Brainspoke will kick in. It will tell all the details what's happening over there. So connect to 27C3 on lacrack.com.
Well, and with that, I think we move on to a bit more of music. Brimstone, thanks for reporting on the current situation in Berlin, and looking forward to meeting you again in Berlin in a few days.
No problem. I'm excited to see my first Chaos Congress and Berlin Sides.
Oh, man, you're in for a treat. That's all I have to say. We'll be right back.
Wow, so that was a bit of a short song. I should pick some longer songs here because I have to call all these people. This was from the AH team, Reggae Deluxe 4.1.244, and it was the tune to a crack. Well,
we don't have anybody yet for the free ticket. Does nobody want to have a free ticket to 27C3, people? It's free, you know? And at least some Dutch guys, cheap Dutch guys, should listening and want to have that free ticket.
I mean, it's sold out. This is your absolute last chance to get a ticket, actually.
Final chance to get that free 27C3 ticket. Brainsmoke, explain it again.
Well, it's a riddle, so you have to connect to 27C3 at lekrek.com. And, it's not... and this doesn't mean you have to send an email, because... yeah, that's not it. So, but if nobody gets it, we'll give a hint later. So, an extra hint.
Okay. Well, and while we are waiting for that, we have another guest on the line. Hello, Xor from Telecomics.
Hello.
Wow, brilliant! You're there. The reason why I got you on the phone, we had an interesting discussion last Saturday. As a result of the basically inspired by it was a reaction to the news about the DDoS attacks on MasterCard, etc. And well, we talked about what can hackers do to influence the public debate. And while we were talking about that, one of the guests at our panel was Amelia Andersdotter. And, well, she basically said we as hackers are not doing enough to influence the public debate. She exactly what she said was this.
I don't mind people hacking away at stuff. It's just that I've been seeing, or as far as I can determine from history, that's what people's been doing for 30 years. And they've never managed to create the mainstream debate.
Okay.
And the effect of that is that the European Parliament is now considering blocking internet pages to get rid of child pornography.
Yeah, so actually she added that maybe the DDoS attacks are a way to attract attention.
This type of protest, when you have a mass movement that's actually making itself heard, we can actually create a debate around that, like maybe we should do something different.
So, and I'm actually wondering, and maybe you have an opinion on that, XR, because Telecomics is an example of a really powerful group from the rooted in the hacker community at large. That has a lot of influence on politics. I'm wondering, do you think DDoS attacks are a way to attract attention? And is this the kind of attention we want?
Yeah, I think so. But, the media climate has to change and think of it more as civil disobedience or protests or something instead of hacking, because it's not really hacking to reload a website.
No, exactly. That's what we think. But Eric, do you have an opinion on this?
By the way, we
not at the moment. I'm forming one, but I'd like to pass.
Whoa! We're kicking in. Sorry, guys. It's a nice discussion, but this is about a free ticket of 2073. Somebody's connecting.
Ooh!
Wow.
Who might this be at the door?
Yeah, it's somebody who says he already has a ticket, so I think...
What now?
Did he leave a phone number?
No phone number.
Well, then it's not
a
valid entry, and we move on with the discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
So, because these DDoS attacks, one of the effects it actually has is that media is now writing about hackers attacking MasterCard. And as you already said, Xor, it's not actually hacking. Why are media doing this?
I think it's because the media wants to portray the internet or the young children at the Anonymous as hackers, because it's cool if the readers think it's cool, and then they buy more newspapers. But I'm not sure how to continue on that and how to make them change their mind or something like that. But some Swedish newspapers has changed their mind and talked about the children in Anonymous as protesters and not as hackers. Mm-hmm.
So actually, another participant in the panel, Hans van der Looy, he's a hacker of the early hours. What he said basically was that the media is unaware of what hackers are. Let's listen to what he said.
The media doesn't understand what it is they are talking about. They say or they label a kit that downloads a certain program from the internet and points them at a certain corporation as being a hacker, which is not true.
I don't think that the media is out there to give us a bad image. The spokespersons of corporations, the spokespersons of several government organizations, they are giving us a bad image. They are spinning the reality in a way that we don't like. And we don't have the money power to change that, but we've got the intelligence to.
Yes, indeed. So the last person to speak was Brenno de Winter, who was also a part of this panel. And yeah, if we hear this, there's quite a lot to do for us hackers and hackerspaces. How can we influence this public opinion that people have of hackers as people that do DOS attacks and break in? Well, really, we are not that kind of people. I mean, if you look at the hackerspaces, there's a lot more going on. I understand that telecomics is really prevalent in the public debate in Sweden. Do you have any hints for us other hackers, for example, in the Netherlands?
No, actually, I don't. I think that the media will select how to write about it themselves, and if they want to write it as hacking, then they will write about it as hacking. The word hacking has been in media, a thing that is very much the same as breaking into computers and hacking computers, and it's not so very important how the people hack the computers or why they're doing that. Because I think, again, that the media just simply thinks of hacking as breaking computers, and they have never really wished to learn or change their mind about that. So I think that more and more hackerspaces emerge, and the more and more people that label themselves hackers, the more people will simply change their mind about how the word hacking should be interpreted.
Well, there was actually also one of my messages. I was doing the opening of the day, and I started about the two words, and it was ethical and hacking, or hackers. And I checked out the word on the some dictionaries and Wikipedias and so on, what the word actually means. Well, for ethics, it's mostly done to what people think it's good for the world and so on, and well, you can have lots of discussions about that. But for hackers, there are lots of different mindsets. And one of that mindsets is that the hackers are always breaking bank accounts and breaking down computers. And then we came to the next question, is DDoSing hacking? And most of the people don't think it's hacking. It's just playing around from script kiddies and blocking routes. And that was one of those conclusions. So do you agree?
About hacking being... Wait, can you please restate that question?
Do you agree that this type of DDoSing and so on, it's totally not hacking, it's more script kidding and blocking doors, sitting with a lot of people in front of the doors of a building like that?
Yeah, it's more like a protest,
Sort of, yeah. I wonder actually if we as hackers and hackerspaces are doing enough to dispel this myth that you just mentioned. Eric, are you still there?
I am still here.
I'm here too.
I bet you have something to say about this as well. I mean, you've seen a lot of hackerspaces. What can hackerspaces do to project a more accurate image of hackers?
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, a hacker is a person who pushes the boundaries of their form and art. And as long as people are showing that things other than just, you know, script kiddie, you know, no knowledge attacks are going on, like DIY bio, I mean, work with fabrication, all different types of hacking. People keep seeing those things happening at the same time, and it diminishes the other one. I mean, right now, WikiLeaks and all this other stuff is the hot topic of the moment, and it's a very powerful one. And we're actually at a very crucial period in the history of our world right now, where people who aren't necessarily part of established power, this new form of power where you don't have to live in any one country to be able to display knowledge and information. It's very interesting. And because of that, because of this free flow of information, you'll see other projects shine eventually, like very soon. I mean, as we were discussing earlier with DIY Bio, those things are coming out and it's getting the attention of main media. Well, like this attack. So it can go many ways, but I think just by people hacking and continuing to hack and portraying it in a positive light, that won't be a problem.
I agree with you, Eric, on the side that the hackerspaces, they have the main reason to get each other one step ahead, to help each other and so on. But we also see that there are lots of parts of the hacking culture who are not reacting very positive, and they try to use hacking as a negative side. So that was also one of the reasons why the hackerspaces in Holland came up with the idea we should do something positive and tell the real message to the people and tell them what's good and what's wrong.
Yeah, it's one of the things we can do. And the other thing is getting press to attend to like, for example, CCC, Hacking at Random, all these kinds of things. Brenno actually had to say something about that.
Well, we are here today. There was a press release. There are CCC. There are conferences ongoing. We do a lot of things to profile ourselves, and all of these events are turning journalists around.
We now have a wave of hackerspaces coming up all over the world. Days like this, with a very small group of 10 people, we can get together, I think, 100 hackers, and we have 50 listening right now to us. So hackers are actively working on our image, but we have to get the media here. We have to explain them what we are, what we're doing.
Actually, this raises an interesting matter, which I fear we won't have time to discuss any further because we're running out of time. But should the hackerspace as such assume
in
a political
the media,
position?
Hackers or hackerspaces?
Oh, that's the media again. Sorry. I would really love to discuss this further with you guys, but apparently we have a winner. Plus, we have some other subjects to discuss. So, Xora, thanks for being online. We are we have a winner. Is that correct, Fish?
Well, we have to ask the game master, Brain Smoke.
Yeah, indeed, we have a winner.
And we also have a phone number.
Do we have a phone number this time?
Yeah.
Yes?
I believe you have the phone number.
Oh, we're going to dial the phone number. Do, 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 do.
So for...
Complete chaos in the studio. This is actually Triple F again with a little tune for the painkiller crack throw. Meanwhile, we have a winner. It is someone from Sweden, actually. Brainsmoke, how the heck did this person get to us?
So the question was the assignment was to connect to 27c3@lecrec.com, and the trick is that that 27c3 can be interpreted as a hexadecimal number, and if you use that as the port number the TCP port number and connected to it, you could, there was a socket waiting for you. So.
And someone found that socket from Sweden. Shall we just try to get this lucky person on the line? Connecting. Should hear it ringing.
Yeah, it's a SYN.
There we go.
Let's get an ACK. SYN ACK.
Greetings.
Hello, greetings. This is the Signal Studio.
Hello.
Hello. Who are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Petter from Telecomics as well, actually.
Wow.
It's a small world.
It's a small world, indeed.
Hey, how did you find out how the game was working?
Well, I was listening to your radio, and I was also in the Hackerspaces channel, so I got the address right. And then, well, it was the obvious interpretation that was tricky enough.
It was not that hard, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was slightly more difficult than immediately obvious. So.
That was the goal. So tell us, you tried to get a ticket before, or is this just a lucky streak for you?
Actually, I already have a ticket. So.
Oh, you already have one?
Yes, but I have another Telecomics friend here, Prowl, from Germany, who doesn't have a ticket. So I will graciously donate it to him and perhaps get some...
At least it's for a good cause. So for somebody who doesn't have a ticket and who will go. Can you mention his name?
Prowl. I don't know exactly his... Can do a quick who is and see if I...
Well, GMC, I think the guy should come to the live radio show from CCC, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, yeah. On Thursday the 30th, we have a live radio show. And Prowl, if you're listening, you're invited. So
just come over.
Actually, he isn't from Germany. He's just looking to spread awareness. Oh, well. I will anyway donate it or sell it or whatever to some worthy... associate or person who wants to go to the extremely awesome conference 2073.
Well, congratulations, and we will contact you shortly, probably after the show or tomorrow. I don't know what GMC's plan is on that side.
Oh yeah, I'm on ISC as GMC, so just PM me your email, and we can sort things out.
All right, great. Should I write them on socket or?
Oh yeah, write it to the socket.
Yeah, write it down on the socket. Yeah, and if somebody is ahead of you,
no.
We'll check out the number. Hey, thank you very much for joining this game, and
thank you.
Have fun over there at CCC.
I will do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye bye.
Wow,
he was lucky, man.
He was. So, yes. Fish, you're actually not going. That's a pity.
Last month, traveling around Asia was well. I had some hard days, and my wife said to me, "I want you to stay home this Christmas." I can understand that. For the last few years, I was joining CCC, and it was good like this. And now I got some rest. That's good.
It's the parallel of a geek.
Talking about rest, you get some resty music?
Oh, I need some music, definitely. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Signal, your favorite radio station of hackerspaces.org. This is the Dev Random Show, and we're talking about hackerspaces, conferences, giving away free tickets, and so on. At last month, I was visiting Japan, and I was having a nice discussion with Elliot Lee, and he's starting a hackerspace in Saigon. It was a nice discussion.
You're from Ho Chi Minh, Saigon, Vietnam?
Sort of. I'm actually American. My parents are from Hong Kong, so perhaps you could say I'm Chinese American. But about 6 months ago, I moved to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, and I've been living there for close to 6 months now.
Okay, and how is Vietnam doing? How you expected it?
Well, it's very different from the U.S. Once you land in the country, you look at the streets, and it just looks completely different from anything that you'll see in the U.S. You know, the traffic is all motorcycles. The streets are very crowded. There's constant honking, there are people walking on the streets. Very few traffic lights and very few crosswalks, and lots of people not using crosswalks.
Is it very Western, or?
It depends on who you talk to. Before I went to Vietnam, I talked with someone from Vietnam, a Vietnamese friend, and he told me that Saigon was a modern city. He said it was similar to Los Angeles, which is where I'm from. But in my opinion, it's nothing like Los Angeles, because in Los Angeles, you'll see very few motorcycles. There are traffic lights. The sidewalks look different. The signs on the buildings are very different. There's nowhere near as many power lines, just 15 feet above the sidewalks. It's just a very different environment.
Okay, and what kind of people are living in the city? Is it the various amount of people, or are the people old or young?
Well, they are almost all Vietnamese people, although in Saigon there are quite a few expats. There's a sizable expat community. In Vietnam, the population is very young, so I believe that a majority of the population is under 30 years old. And that's actually a pretty stark contrast from many other countries where the population is aging and just getting much older. On the other hand, in Vietnam, there are a lot of young people, and a lot of them are very bored and have lots of time on their hands.
And are they hackers?
Yeah, there's a pretty sizable hacker community in Vietnam. I actually went to a conference called the Saigon Mobile Dev Camp. And I think there were probably a couple hundred mobile application developers there. Some of them were beginners, but some of them were fairly experienced.
So, and there are so many people who are living over here, what you just said?
Yeah, Vietnam as a whole has a population of over 80 million people, and just in Ho Chi Minh City, there are over 7 million people. So,
7 million people, and no hackerspace.
Exactly. I looked on hackerspaces.org. I saw that a lot of the surrounding countries, like Malaysia and Singapore, have hackerspaces, but Vietnam doesn't have one yet. I think it's only a matter of time, but I'm taking it upon myself to go ahead and start the first one.
Sounds really as a great idea. What's the status of that idea? Is it just an idea, or is it already in progress? You already found some people?
Well, it's in progress. I'd say it's a little bit past the idea stage. I've created a Google group, and it's called Saigon Hackspace. We might try to come up with a more creative name, or maybe we'll stick with Saigon Hackspace. But the group currently has 10 people, and I'm certainly looking for more people to join in on the effort.
And then the people who are joining those 10, are those active people who want to build the space, or you don't know them yet?
I don't know. Some of them are my friends. Actually, pretty much all of them I know, because they're just my immediate network that I've invited. They haven't really told me how involved they want to be, but just by joining the list, they at least want to hear about what's happening, even if they don't really get involved themselves.
Hey, and the hackerspace, you probably have an idea how it's going to look like and what the function is going to be?
Yeah, I'm taking a lot of inspiration from the hackerspaces that I have experience with, primarily the Hacker Dojo in Mountain View, as I lived in the Bay Area for a few months. I've also visited NoiseBridge in San Francisco, and I think both of those hackerspaces have very cool models that I would like to draw inspiration from as I create a new space in Vietnam.
But as soon as the space is going to open, and let's just close your eyes, and we're 1 year later, and I'm opening the door of your hackerspace, and I'm walking inside, and I'm looking around, and what I'm going to see.
I think there would be a good variety of projects. There would be some hardware hacking, some software hacking, maybe some crafts, maybe some fabric-related projects, just a good variety of things. Personally, the aspect that I have the most expertise in is mobile software development. So I imagine we'd have people with their laptops working together and collaborating on new app ideas that would be running on iPhone or Android or maybe even other platforms like Windows Phone 7 or BlackBerry in the future.
So that's very, very broadband.
It's pretty broad. I think we'd have some pretty standard things, desks, chairs for people to sit at, hopefully really fast internet. Maybe try to get some beanbag chairs. Those have been hard to find. I haven't seen any in Vietnam yet.
Beanbag rules.
Yeah, I think beanbag chairs would make the space a nice place to relax in. Hey. A bookshelf, you know, for a library.
And you still have some needs like these, but also on tools or financials, and how are you going to arrange that part?
Yeah, so right now we're starting with nothing. We don't have any money yet other than the money that I'm willing to put in personally. We don't have any tools or equipment, so I think we'll certainly need to build that up over the next year.
You already have a building or a space itself?
We're looking at a couple of houses that are in the center of the city in District 1. I think we're looking at one that looks pretty attractive. It would be a three-story house, but I'm thinking that depending on how much space we need, maybe we'll just take one floor for the hackerspace and then have the other floors used for other things.
Sounds as a decent plan. And the financials, do people want to pay for a space, or are you going to use another model?
That's still an open question, still kind of debating that. For NoiseBridge and the Hacker Dojo, I believe they're primarily member-funded. I know for the Hacker Dojo, they're doing very well from their membership fees. They have over 100 members, and they're paying. Most members are paying $100 a month. That certainly will not work in Vietnam because the average income is much lower. I think the GDP per capita is just a little over $3,000. I'm thinking that we will have a membership model, but it'll be sort of like NoiseBridge, where you don't have to pay the membership fee to use the space. You can come in for free, and then if you want to support the space, you can sign up for a membership and pay.
So it's more based on donations instead of real memberships.
Yeah, I mean, I like to have people be members so that they feel a sense of ownership, They'll be sort of like donations. They won't be mandatory.
And last but not least, if people want to know some more information about your IDs and how they can get involved with the Vietnam hackerspace, Saigon Hackspace.
Saigon Hackspace. Yeah, I want to sell it a little bit because I think a lot of people who are listening probably don't have much experience with Vietnam. Vietnam is actually a very, very attractive place for a hackerspace. Partly because of the young population, which I already mentioned. There are a lot of people who have a lot of time and they stay up late. And then also the infrastructure. There are a lot of problems, but the mobile technology is actually very advanced. So you can get a fast 3G data connection for a very reasonable price anywhere in Ho Chi Minh City, certainly. And you can also get free Wi-Fi. If you just go down the street, every little coffee shop or cafe has free Wi-Fi for their customers. And that's it's different from, I can't really think of another place where I've seen more free Wi-Fi than in Ho Chi Minh City.
So there are lots of facilities.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting that the students there all learn English in school. So even though some people can't speak it too well, they all have some knowledge of English, and that makes it easy for people traveling from overseas to communicate with the people in Vietnam.
So if people want to get involved with the Saigon Hackspace, you have to go to?
There is our Google group. It'll be, I guess it's probably something like groups.google.com/Saigon-Hackspace, something like that. But maybe we'll, together with the audio file, put the URL or something.
Yeah, we...
You can also send me an email. My email address is elliot@greenguard.com. So Elliot, E-L-L-I-O-T, and then Greengar, green like the color, and then G-A-R. So G-R-E-N-G-A-R.com.
Okay, so everybody who's listening, who's want to get involved in a hackerspace in Saigon, just contact Elliot, and, well...
Yeah, I'm looking, looking forward to hearing from some people.
Okay. Hey, Elliot, thank you very much for your information about your IDs in Saigon, and talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for the interview, Fish.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was about a month ago with a nice chat with Elliot. Asia and hackerspaces, they're popping up. It took about a year after Europe and so on. Eric, you have been traveling around in Asia.
Yeah, I've been traveling around a little bit. I was actually supposed to be in China in early December for a conference, but that got canceled. But I see some interesting things coming up. Actually, funny story. Barry, isn't that where we met originally in Malaysia?
Yeah, Kuala Lumpur, 2007, yeah. 2008 or so.
Yeah, memories.
Well, you know, the guys in Kuala Lumpur, they also started a hackerspace because they came up with an idea of both random data and your voice, of course, because you're one of
people
who are talking a lot about nice subjects.
I'm always one to talk about hopefully nice subjects to most people, but
evangelist or something like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Evangelist.
Yeah, thank you.
Evangelist.
Thank you,
Chief. Yes. Oh, a hackerspace evangelist. I'm an evangelist of people doing awesome things.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing awesome things. I agree with that.
Hey, I'd rather say that. An evangelist of people doing awesome things and whatever they're doing.
Hey, but coming back to Asia.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like... Well, actually, I don't have it in my schedule yet, but... Since I just found out about Hackerspace Saigon, it looks like I might have to add that to my trip itinerary.
And you also wanted to travel to Thailand?
Yeah, so I'm chatting with a number of other nomadic travelers and workers, and we're thinking of getting a place in somewhere in Thailand or somewhere around there for a few months in the next year.
Thailand
so,
is awesome, man. And they got bank space in Bangkok. And that's something for the birds and the bees again.
Right. But yeah, we're definitely Brink and I. Actually, Brink is out of the room right now. But yeah, we're definitely looking to stay in that area for a while and work remotely and work locally and work at some hackerspaces and create some interesting projects. That's one of the main things. What we do is we go to a place because we want to find interesting people to work with.
Hey, how many hackerspaces have you? Started up from the ID.
From zero.
You've motivated a lot of people to start a hackerspace, including me. You know.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I co-founded with Nick Farr and a few others HackDC, and then I founded Pumping Station One. But I've advised and, as you said, inspired dozens of others. I don't know really the count on that. I've had so many phone calls and emails of people asking for help, and I would guide them in a direction. And two personally, and then other organizations. But I've seen a lot. It's interesting.
Hey, Eric, we're going to make an end of the show because we're out of time.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So much fun.
Well, 2 hours is going really fast, man. I enjoyed your show a lot. Is Brink already back, or?
She is out of the room. Let me knock on the door.
Yeah. Well, in the meanwhile, I just want to give short, brief notice of the agenda for the next day. So 27.3c3 is coming up from Thursday 27th until 30th of December. We got B-sides in C-Bates, also in Berlin, 28th until
Berlin sides.
Okay. Thank you for correcting. And we got ETH0 on the 14th of January until the 16th of January. Hey, everybody. GMC, thank you for your for being our master technician. We had a hard job with all of those lines. Thanks anyway. Brain Smoke, thanks for doing technicians on the game. At least we're going to do this game, and again, we should make it part of the every show, don't you think, GMC?
Yeah, but then we need more tickets.
Or from different. Different conferences.
Or more things to give away. Different things.
Yeah.
Actually, guys, if you'd like, I have some stuff that we create from time to time. And if you need some prizes or puzzles, I'm happy to create or give prizes also.
Heard we got prizes for there the you next have it. Random
show. I might have
show.
A lockpick set available next time.
Yeah.
Wow. So about next time, actually. Eric, will you be in the live show Thursday from Berlin?
If there's a live show, I can be in person. I think Brink and I can say yes. We don't know our schedule, but sounds like a positive. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, why not? Hell.
We'll talk
about
it. I don't
have a schedule.
Hey, thanks for being in the show. Fish,
thanks again for hosting.
And keeping me sane during this ordeal.
Yes. Don't forget Hammercat.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Ending the show is the last song of today by Kindly, which was for the Hypersnap 6.40.06 crack. The song we heard before was by Eris, and it was the Hot Dog King. All these songs are from the KeyGenJukebox.com. They have lots of cool chip tunes and other stuff. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Fish, until next year.
Hey, see you next year. Bye-bye, and have a nice Christmas. We'll be right back.
WikiLeaks.